Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Tzadi Zayin. We begin 4 lines from the top, the 2 dots, where we have a simen, Shitzei Atzvei Simen. Not exactly sure what this mnemonic here represents, but we always say it's a skula to say out these simonim. Before we go right to the Gemara, we have to remind ourselves the end of yesterday's shiur. We learned that we tried to explain the machlokis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in regards to whether the new tefillin, the chadoshos, are a kameya, because according to Rav Meir, a person would in fact not go and trouble himself and make a kameya in the shape and form of tefillin, and therefore, if you find chadoshos or yeshanos, ones that were previously obviously used as tefillin, even ones that weren't previously used clearly as tefillin, nobody would go to the trouble, according to Rav Meir, to go make a kameya that looked so much like tefillin, and therefore, if you find them, you have to assume that they have kedushas tefillin. That was Rav Meir's understanding for saying that if you find chadoshos or yeshanos, you can go and bring them via the method of wearing them on Shabbos. Whereas Rav Yehuda said, no, a person would trouble himself. That's how we resolved the end of the shiur yesterday. A person would trouble himself, and therefore, he might make a kameya that looks like tefillin, and therefore, the chadoshos, they don't have evidence that they were previously worn, so then you're not allowed to go and wear it on Shabbos, because you're only allowed to take this heter of wearing the tefillin on Shabbos, according to Rav Yehuda, for vadai kedusha of tefillin, but not for this potential that it might be a kameya. That's how we left off the shiur yesterday. So again, we now have a mnemonic that's going to discuss this further. Shitzei Atzvei Simen. And the Gemara begins. Vahasta, but however, now, the Tani Yavua de Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, that we have a Braisa, the father of Shmuel, who's the son of Rav Yitzchak, said, Elohei Nishanos, this is what the Mishnah defines as being Yishanos, as tefillin that were previously worn, and that they definitely have Kedushas tefillin. That is defined as Kol Sheyesh Ben Ritzuos Umikusharos. Not only does it have the ritzuos, it has the straps of the tefillin, but they are properly tied. They are mikusharos. There are certain knots that the tefillin has to have. In the shoyad, it has the shape of a yud, and in the shorosh, it has the shape of a dalet. So there's certain knots that have to be there. If you see those knots that are there, so then it is definitely considered a pair of tefillin that you'd be allowed to take advantage of this kula to go and wear them on Shabbos. That is the definition of yeshanos. It's ritzuos that have knots. Chadashos, on the other hand, yesh kan ritzuos, they do have the straps, however, velo mikusharos, but they don't have these knots in them. And therefore, the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is as follows. In fact, the kuliyama lo tarech inish, that nobody, not even Rav Yehuda, is concerned that a person is going to be matriach himself and go and make kameya that look like tefillin and make the knots over there. So therefore, if you have chadoshos which don't have the knots, so then clearly this is not a pair of tefillin. So then how come Rav Yehuda forbids you to take the chadoshos? If nobody is going to go make them, even ritzuos, lo mikusharos, the kuliyama lo tarech inish, so then why doesn't he allow you to take them? They should have kedusha of tefillin. So he says, the problem is that you're not allowed to tie a kesher on Shabbos. And therefore, the only way you're allowed to carry them is if you carry them like tefillin. And therefore, if they don't have a kesher on them, you can't wear them. And that's why Rav Yehuda says you can't take the chadoshos. Not because it's a chashash that it's kameya. Kuliyamalo tarech inish. No, not like we said at the end of yesterday's shiur that the machlokas was about whether inish is tarech or not, whether a man would trouble himself to make a kameya. No, nobody would do that. And the reason the Rav Yehuda says you can't carry them is because you're not allowed to make the knot. Implication being, the Rav Meir says you are allowed to make a knot. So the Gemara says, well, why does Rav Yehuda say, okay, don't make a knot, but let him make what we would call a bow. Now, a bow is not an Issa Deraisa on Shabbos. It would just be forbidden me the Rabbanan, and the rabbi should put aside their restriction here in this situation to allow you to go and save the pair of tefillin. So Amar Rav Chista says, oh, clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Zoso Meres, that making an aniva is psulo betfilin. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it won't do you any good to make an aniva. It won't fulfill making this requirement to have the ksharim on the tefillin. An aniva will not do it. And if you don't have it in the form of tefillin, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to wear it. If you're not allowed to wear it because it's not in the form of tefillin, that's why you can't save the chadoshos. Abai disagrees. Abai Amar, Rav Yehuda L'taymei, he says, Rav Yehuda, in fact, says that an aniva would fulfill the requirement. An aniva does act as a kesher, Rav Yehuda L'taymei, Rav Yehuda L'shitatso, the Amar, aniva kshira ma'ayasehi. In fact, he holds that an aniva is a tie, a kshira, that is the araisa, and therefore it would fulfill it. And therefore, that is why Rav Yehuda doesn't allow you to go and wear these chadoshos on Shabbos, because you'd have to make a bow or a kesher, and both of them are in fact Isurim Darbaisa. Kshira is also Ma'ayasahi with Aniva, not only with a regular Kesher. So Gemara says, if that's true, Taima, Daniva, Kshira, Ba'ayasahi, if the reason why Rav Yehuda doesn't allow you to carry the Chadashos without Makusharos, because you can't make a Kesher and you can't even make a bow, so then, Halav Hachi, the implication would be that Aniv Luhu, if this wasn't the case and a person made a bow, then he would have allowed the person to go and wear it. It's only because he says that the aniva is also kshira midaraisa. But Rav Yehuda, who is the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas, said over the name of Rav that the kesher shel tefillin is halacha lemoshe misinai. A kesher of tefillin is in fact something that is required halacha lemoshe misinai. Now, an aniva cannot make this halach lemosh misinai accomplishment. There you definitely need a kesher. So if this is correct, that an aniva is only forbidden because it's a kesher with the raisa, it still wouldn't work. It can't fulfill the halach lemosh misinai. So how can you say that that's the reason why he doesn't allow an aniva? The reason that aniva is no good because it doesn't fulfill the halach lemosh misinai. And by the way, v'amar of Nachman, v'noyeh and levar. And in addition, this halach lemosh misinai says that all of the noy aspect of the tefillin, Rashi says, also heker osios, the fact that you have the shin, the dalet, and the yud, recognizable, has to be on the outside. It can't be inside the box to have the shin of the shel rosh inside the box. It has to be on the outside of the box. So, therefore, Abaye, that can't be the reasoning of Rav Yehuda, because even if you were allowed to make an aniva, it wouldn't fulfill the obligation. Somebody says, no, that's not a problem. The onivlu, ke'en kishira, did who? He says, no, you make the aniva here in a way that would halachically fulfill the halach lemosh misinai. It's similar enough to a kshira. They're both also mean deraisa, therefore they both have a certain status to them, and this status of the requirement of halach lemosh misinai to make a kesher could also be fulfilled by making an aniva. And that is how Abaye understands Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara continues and says, Amar Chista, Amar Rav, Chista says in a Rav, Halo keach tefillin, if somebody buys tefillin. So he's buying a number of pair of tefillin. So you have to make sure that they're kosher tefillin. Now, how do you go? You don't check each pair by yourself. You're not a mumcha. But if you purchase them from a mumcha, there's a cheskes kashrus. The mumcha has a certain status that he's selling kosher tefillin. Now, how do you define that? So he says, halokeach tefillin mishen a mumcha. If you take tefillin from somebody who is not yet shown to be a mumcha, and you want to establish that this person is a mumcha. He's a new scribe that comes into town. He states he knows what he's doing, and he wants to sell tefillin. So what do? Bodek, you go and do a bedika, you go and examine the tefillin, and you can then ascertain that this person is a mumcha. How many do you have to ascertain that are correct and legitimate before you can ascertain that this person is a mumcha? So, Rav Chista Amar Rav tells us that if you check shtayim shel yad, if you check two shel yads, the achas shel rosh and one shel rosh, that would be fine. Or alternatively, o shtayim shel rosh, or check two shel roshes and the achas shel yad and one shel yad. In other words, if you check three in a combination of either two and one or one and two, that would be perfectly fine. If all three are good, so you've established a chazaka with these three that this guy is a mumcha, and then you can buy the fourth, the fifth, the sixth afterwards without having to necessarily check them. He's established himself with a chazaka that he is a mumcha. Gemara says, I don't understand. Where do you get this two and one or one and two? It doesn't make sense. Marashach. Either way you look at it, we got a problem. E michad gavro kozovin. If this guy is, he's the middleman, but he's saying they're all from one person. So e michad gavro kozovin. If he says all three of these tefillin that you checked, the two shoyads and one shorosh, the two shorosh and one shoyad, were all from the same sofer. So then livdo, then you should be able to check o shalosh shoyad, o shalosh shorosh. Why do you have to check shoyads and shorosh, or shorosh and shoyad? Why can't you just check three? Once you've established that this one sofer is a legitimate mumcha, so then either check three shoyads and prove it with a chazaka after three, or check three shoroshes. Why do you have to check some shoyads and some shoroshes? So if it's from one person, why did you divide it up and say some have to be shoyads and some have to be shoroshes? Alternatively, if you want to tell me, imi trei or tlasa gavri zovin, if this middleman that you're buying the pair of tefillin from says, well, this one was written by Yankel, and this one was written by Shlomo, and this one was written by Yehuda, so then, if it's from two or three different sofrim, so then, how do you establish a chazaka? The fact that one from Yankel was good, and one from Shmuel is good, and one from Yehuda is good, that doesn't establish a chazaka. Therefore, kol chad b'chadli boy b'dika. Then every time you buy a pair of tefillin, until you've established that that sofer is a mumcha, so you can't do anything. So again, Mimana Shach, it doesn't make any sense here why he's saying you have to do two Shoyads and one Shorosh, or two Shorosh and one Shoyad. So Gemara answers what maybe probably most people were thinking on their own, the Olam Michad Gavra Zavin. In fact, we're talking about a case where this middleman who's selling the tefillin is selling them from one individual. So he's only selling Yanku's tefillin. So why do you have to check two Shoyads and one Shorosh, or two Shoroshes and one Shoyad? He says, Uba'inon demismache b'shoyad u'b'shorosh. Some people, maybe they know how to do a Shoyad, but they don't know how to do a Shorosh. Other people, maybe they know how to do a Shorosh, they don't know how to do a Shoyad. So therefore, to establish this person as a mumcha, you got to check three. And in that three, you need some that are going to be Shoroshes and some that are going to be Shoyads. You need a total of three. So it's either going to be two and one or one and two. Really, the one says, Ini. Is that correct? For Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Rabbi Bar Shmuel taught us, Batfilin Bodek Shalosh, Shoyad V'Shorosh. For Tfilin, you have to ascertain that somebody is a mumcha, you have to check three Shoyads. Now, here we'll say, or three Shoroshes. That's what the word is going to say. My love, O Shalosh Shoyad, O Shalosh Shorosh, that you just need to ascertain that somebody's a mumcha by showing a chazaka. A chazaka is saying is three. And either three Shoyads or three Shoroshes is fine. But you don't have to go and show mumcha status for both Shoyads and Shoroshes. It's enough if you show Mustam. If he's a mumcha for Shoyads, he's also a mumcha Shoroshes. So all you have to do is establish the Shoyads, or vice versa. If you establish he's a mumcha for Shoroshes, so then you don't have to prove he's a mumcha Shoyads. It's assumed so. So where that's what Rabbi Bar of Shmuel said. So that seems to go against the idea that we just brought down, that you have to show mumcha status of both. So Shmuel says, lo, that's incorrect. What is the statement of Rabbi Bar of Shmuel when he said three? He said shalosh. He says, mehen shoyad, mehen shorosh. Some of which have to be a shoyad, some of which have to be a shorosh. In other words, two can be a shoyad, one a shorosh, or two can be a shorosh, one can be a shoyad. But this is exactly how we just explained a moment ago, lo lo michad gavra zavin, and it has to be, uba'inon demismachi b'shoyad u'shorosh. You have to establish that he's a mumcha in both, and you do this by having some shoyads and some shoroshes with a total of three. Gemara still questions this. And the Gemara says, v'otoni Rav Kahana b'tfilin bodek shtayim, shoyad v'shorosh. Rav Kahana says, where do you get the idea of three? Okay, you got to show and establish that he's a mumcha in both shoyads and shoroshes. And you're saying three, three, three. Amar chist, amar rab. You need three. But here, Rav Kahana says, the Braisa says, you only need two. One shoyad, one shorosh. Shmuel says, oh, this is the famous machlokis that we have throughout Shas between Rebbe and Rabbi Gamliel as to what makes a chazaka. You have the opinion of Rebbe that says you only need to do two. Two establishes a chazaka, and that's what Rav Kahana is bringing down to the Brais over here, Betzvillin, Bodek Shtayim. Two, if you show one Shoyad and one Shorosh are good, so that this person has established himself as a mumcha, because two Tvillin were good, one Shoyad, one Shorosh. However, I think I said before Rav Gamliel, it's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that you need to establish a chazaka, you need to have three. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the father of Rebbe, and he said, no, you need a chazaka for three, which is the standard way that most of us understand chazaka. Chazaka is needed to do something for three times. There's a machlokis throughout Shas between Rebbe and his father, Rav Shimon Gamliel. And under certain situations, we paskin like Rebbe, that two is enough in certain dinim deraisa. And other places, we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you need three. That's not for now. The bottom line is, when Rav Kahana said the brisa of two, that was going homani Rebbe. But our statement from Rav Chista Amar Rav that you need three, that goes according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So homani Rebbe betrays him nei chazaka. So one shoyad, one shorosh, that's two, establishes a chazaka. Where it says, okay, if this brisa is according to Rebbe, so then keep on reading. E Rebbe, so then Ema Seifa, read the next thing that Rav Kahana said. He said, he broke down the brisa, he said, betrilim bodei shtayim shoyad v'shorosh, and then he continued. He says, v'chein batzeves hasheni. And when you're buying a bundle, we'll talk in a moment in the Gemara what a tzevis means. It's a collection. A tzevis literally means like a tongs, a companionship that you're bringing them together. Likewise, if you're buying a bundle from a sofer, you have to go check them in the tzevis hasheni as well. V'chein b'tzevis hashlishi. And the third bundle, you have to go check as well. Rashi understands this, that when you're checking here, v'chein b'tzevis hasheni, he says, imyu lo tzevosim harbe, if the guy's buying a lot of bundles of tefillin, u'b'chol tzevis tefillin harbe, each bundle has many pairs of tefillin in it, so kosal kadaiti, at this point, we're saying the halchikamah, that what the Bryce is telling us over here, As a Bardak Mitzvah Sarishon Shtei Tefillin, from the first bundle you have to check two Tefillin, one Shal Rosh, one Shal Yad, according to Rav Kahana's understanding of the Brisa, according to Rebbe. So Huchsak Kolotzot Tzevis, by checking two in that bundle, so the others are all good. And he says similarly, V'chein B'Sheni, in the second bundle, Huchsak Gamu, when you check two, one Shal Yad, one Shal Rosh, you've established that the rest of the Tefillin in the second bundle are good. And then he says, V'chein B'Shlishi, you have to do this again for the third bundle. So here, he's intrinsically contradictory. He seems to be holding like Rebbe in the Reisha and was suggesting that that's our svar over here, that you just need to check two in the first bundle and the rest are good, two in the second bundle, the rest are good, but then why would he need to check a third bundle? Because if you hold that two is enough, then you shouldn't have to check the third bundle. But here he says in the Brisa that only when he checks the third bundle, Huchzugu call that swasim. Now you no longer have to check the fourth and the fifth bundle. Ain't so hold livdo kulam klum. You don't have to check anymore. So that's the kasha. If this is Rebbe, so then it should have said Ema Seifa, just V'chein B'Tzeva Sasheni, and it shouldn't have gone any further. But in fact, it says V'chein B'Tzeva Sashlishi. You have to do this for the third bundle. That goes like the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you need to do three to establish a chazaka. It's an intrinsic stira. The Rebbe, Shlishi Mi Yisle, why would you need to check a third one? Sumer says, no. In this situation, even according to Rebbe, you'd have to check a third one. Moder Rebbe Bitzvosim. Rebbe agrees that with bundles, you have to go and check the third one. You know why? Because bundles are presumptively from a different sofer. So, the Mitreyu Tlosser Gavri Zovin. You have to assume that this bundle, that was from Yankel the sofer. The second bundle, that's from Shlomo the sofer. The third bundle, that's from Yehuda the sofer. And therefore, each bundle needs to be established with two, a Shal Yad and a Shal Rosh, to establish that that sofer is a good sofer. But one bundle can't have any impact on the other bundle. It's not a din of chazaka. It's a totally different subject. There's a different sofer, so chazaka doesn't apply. So Gemara says, if that's true, so then Yinhachi, Afilu Revi Nami. Why did it stop? Afilu Chamishi Nami. Why did it stop and say, you have to check the third bundle, implying that the fourth and fifth bundles you wouldn't have to check? If this explanation that we're saying for Rav Kahana is that it's talking about Dimitrei Utlosa Gavri Zovin, so then there's a fourth sofer, a fifth sofer, a sixth sofer, so then checking the first three won't do you any good. Shmuel says, yeah, that's exactly it, Enochanami. That's exactly the answer. So why did it only say three? V'haiditoni shlishi, la'afuke mechazke. What we wanted to do over here is remove it from the thought that this is a din in chazaka, because normally Rebbe would say two. So it has to tell us the third one, and then we'll know that it's talking about betray, it's loss of gavri zavin. And once we know that you have to check the third one, of course, it means uliolot. Afil revi v'chamishi, nami. You'd have to check a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, and eighth. If they're different sofrim, it has nothing to do with chazaka. And that's why I just wanted to mention in this brisa the third one to show you that it's not a din in chazaka, because otherwise you wouldn't need a third one. So it's betray, it's loss of gavri, or from a fourth and a fifth and a sixth sofer, and therefore, once you tell me you have to check three, it means you have to check the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, because they're all different bundles, and one chazaka on the first sofer has nothing to do with making chazaka on the second sofer. So as soon as you check two, a shal yad and a shal rosh, according to Rav Kahana, because it's going within the sheet of Rebbe, the two establishes a chazaka, so each bundle, which is made by a different sofer, can have its chazaka established by just checking one shal yad, one shal rosh. But if you have different sofer, you have to check even 100 bundles, 100 different sofrim. Now we quote the Mishnah where we say, Matzah Svasim or Krichos Uchule. We said, if you found them in these Svasim, these bundles, or in Krichos, or in another word for bundles, Uchule. So what's the difference between these two? So Gemara says, My Svasim, My Krichos. What exactly do we mean when we say that there are different types of bundles over here? Svasim and Krichos. So I'm Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Yehuda, I'm a Rav tells us, hey name Svasim, hey name Krichos. You're right, there's very little difference between them. The Halach is the same for both of them. The only slight difference between them is Svasim, when we call them these bundles that are called Svasim, that's Zuve Zuve. What does that mean? That they're tied together. Rashi explains, the Shal Rosh and the Shal Yad are Kshurin Yachad. So in this bundle, each Shal Rosh and Shal Yad is bundled together. V'chein habe Ksharei Zug B'tzeves Achas. And in this bundle, you have all the Shal Yads and Shal Roshes that are together, tied together, and then they're placed into this bundle. And Krichos means the Krichan Tuva. Krichos means that even the Shoyad and Shorosh aren't tied together. As Rashi says, Ki Adadi, the Ein Beis Beis Kshurim. And you don't have any that are tied together. So that's the difference between Svasim and Krichos. But Halacha L'maisa, there is no difference between them. They're all treated the same way. Then we quote the Mishnah, which said, Makshim Alei Mavin. We said that if you couldn't go and bring them in the way that we said, by wearing them, either according to the Tanakhama, one pair at a time, according to Rav Gamliel, you could wear them two pairs at a time, so then you had to leave them there until after dark, you stayed with them, and then you brought them in afterwards. So Gemara says, why? Hamai? Lailinu zug zug. Let them go bring them in, according to the Tanakhama, pair by pair, according to Rav Gamliel, bring two pairs at the same time. So Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, says, my father told me, his father, Rabbi Yehuda, said that this was the reasoning for this, as follows. If you're able to bring them in one pair at a time, or two pair at a time, according to the opinion of Gamliel, the cholos kodim shkes chama, and you would be able to finish this off before the sun sets on Shabbos. So then that's what you should do. So go bring them in that way. But here we're talking about that you can't bring them all in. There's too many pair of tefillin. If you find them at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos is going to end at 7 o'clock, so you don't have time to bring them all in, zug zug. So in this situation, v'lo, mach shechalei mevi'en. So wait there till after dark, and then go bring them all in, so none of the tefillin are treated in a disparaging or a destroying way. Then we quote the Mishnah, and again it tells us, ubesakana, but if it's a time of danger, just mechasan, all you have an obligation to do is to cover them up so they won't be so disheveled and lying in such a potential disaster, and beholech, and then you can leave. Now, what does it mean, this sakana? So the Gemara seems to suggest that this means in a time of danger without qualifying it. But the Braisa tells us it does qualify. Vatanya, ubesakana, molichan, pachos, mi'arba amos. A braisa seems to say, don't just leave them over there in times of sakana, carry them pachos midalaramos. Now, we don't like to use this heter of carrying less than dalaramos in Rosh Rabin, which technically you're allowed to do. So carry 3.5 amos, stop. Then carry 3.5 amos, stop. Carry 3.5 amos, stop. That is halachically not being over-carrying. But the rabbis in general don't like this because, you know, before you know it, the person's going to forget himself and he's going to carry 4 amos and it'll have been Mechal Shabbos, albeit by accident, and he's Chayv HaChatas. So in this situation, we don't allow this, but where there is no choice, which is the Bryce is seeming to say, in Sakana, there is no choice, so carry pokos Yudalad Amos. So why does our Mishnah say, just cover it up and leave it there? Why didn't our Mishnah say, like the Braisa, carried pachos yudalad amos? We have seemed to have two conflicting answers. One says, just cover it up. One says, carry pachos yudalad amos. So I'm a Rav. So Rav gives us the answer as follows. Lo kasha. Now, the girsa that we have, I'm going to explain first, but then I'll tell you that Rashi prefers a totally opposite girsa. So I'll just read the girsa that we have and explain it, but then tell you to ignore that. So the Gemara says, according to Rav, ha v'sakonas nochri. Our Mishnah, where it says that you have to leave it over there, is talking about sakonas nochri. Rashi says sakonas over the gilulin, the mevazu lehu letvilin. In this situation, if they find the tefillin, they're going to, you know, play catch with them. They're going to throw them up in the air and shoot them. So they're going to be mevazu the tefillin. So when you're dealing with the sakana being from oved kol chavim, so then carry them pachos without lamas, because if they find the tefillin, they're going to destroy them, they're going to ruin them. That's what it means, b'shas sakana from nochri. However, ha b'sakonas listim, when you're dealing over here with a concern that there are robbers, Rashi says, we're talking about sakonas listim Yisrael, they won't do anything to be b'vaza the tefillin. However, they'll kill you. So therefore, the katlele mishumamona, they're going to kill you for your money. However, they'll leave the tefillin, they won't do anything to the tefillin, they're Jews. So therefore, all you do in that situation is cover them up. However, Rashi says on the Omid Beis, and we can turn to the Omid Beis now and read the Rashi over there. So Rashi tells us that that's not correct. He says on the first of the thin lines, at the end of the first of the thin lines, and Rashi says, Loshon Acher V'Ikar. I prefer the following pshat rather than this pshat. There are problems with this pshat, which we won't go through right now. He says the real correct answer is, V'lo L'Shabesh HaSvarim Masnisim Meseches Over Gulim Shegozru Gezeru Shlo Yanichu Tefillin. That we're talking about the sash sakana of the Nachum, is that when the Nachum said, Jews aren't allowed to wear tefillin, and if you wear tefillin and we catch you, it'll be pain of death. So in this situation, v'hai u'besakana mechasan is talking about when the goyim are going to kill you if they catch you wearing tefillin. So if you go and carry this, pachos v'dalet amos, v'holichlo, this goes akula masdisim koi v'hachikamar, and this is what it means. Ubisakana, when you're dealing with sakana of pikuach nefashos shem yimtzu biyado, if the goyim see you having in your hand
or Yishma Lamalchus, even if it's afterwards heard, hey, we had put some tefillin out there as a trap, and we heard that some Jews took them, so Yareg didn't kill you. Bein Ma'at, Bein Mitzvasim, whether there's one pair of tefillin, or there are multiple pairs of tefillin, it doesn't make any difference. If it's a Zman of Shmat, if it's a time when the Goyim are going to kill you for wearing tefillin, then all you have an obligation to do, even if it's one pair, you don't carry it out Zug Zug, but you mechasun betaliso, and certainly if there are many pairs, you're going to get killed if they catch you with them. All you're obligated to do in that situation is to cover them up, shelo yutlu, kokach bebizoyim, that they shouldn't be lying there in such disgrace, at least they're covered up. Umenicham shom, and then you leave them there, v'holich, and you run away, so you don't get killed. V'lo yaziza mishom, and don't even move them a little bit, because shemer yagishu bo, v'yischayv l'malchus, because they put this out as a trap, maybe, and if they see that they've been moved, they're going to kill you. And the braisa that we brought down, that we said that you'd carry pachos pachos dalad amos, that's when you're dealing over here, the listim, over go lilim, you're dealing with armed robbers and a goyim, and they will destroy the tefillin if they find them over there, they won't have any respect for them, and therefore, that's only going by seifa koi, that's only going on the latter part. The ktani, there, machshich aleim umevion. In general, we say that if there is no sakana, so then, stay there with them until after Shabbos and don't take pachos pachos without lamos. But ubisakonis list him shuyari lahachshach sham. But if it is a time of danger and you're concerned that the Ovi Galil are going to kill you out there, so then molichim pachos pachos without lamos. Then you have the right to go and take them 3.5 amos stop, etc. Below yinichim sham. In that situation, don't leave them there because shlo yizazul list them, because the goyim are going to have fun with them. They're going to destroy them. They're going to go throw them and play baseball with them. They're going to treat them in a disparaging and busha type of way. That's Rashi's preferred pshat. Now we start the Gemara again. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to him, so how have we learned? B'mayu kimtel masnisin. So we've established our Mishnah. It's talking about b'sakonas avodas gilulim, that we're concerned that if you were to carry it, even pokus pokus dalalamas, you'll get killed. So that's what our Mishnah is talking about. But then, ema sefer, then the next part of our Mishnah doesn't make sense if the reasoning is because we're concerned the sakonis over gelulim, that if we find us with tefillin, they'll kill us. Look what next is said. Rabbi Shimon Omer, nos non lechaveiro, v'chaveiro lechaveiro. So you're allowed to go in this situation and transfer it. Instead of going pokos pokos dalad amos, hand it to a friend, who'll hand it to a friend, who'll hand it to a friend, and that's allowed. Now, if we're concerned about the Ovi Kochavim coming to kill you, so kol shekein da'av shemilsa. This is a much bigger clamor. This is a much bigger public demonstration than one guy walking pokos with dalad amos. So if you're worried about the goyim killing you, and that's why you say you don't let him walk dalad amos, so then how would he let you go? Pass it from a friend to a friend to a friend. So it seems to be inconsistent. So Gemara says, you're right. If you read it the way you just did, they have a problem. There are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way you have to read the whole Mishnah. The Medvar Mamurim, what are we talking about? If you're dealing with the Sakana of Avodas Gilulim, so then you're right. Then just Bechasa them over there. Keep them covered up. If you're worried only about robbers, and you don't want to stay out there because of the robbers, so then in that situation, you have the halachic right to take advantage of Molichim Pachos Pachos Midalat Amos. This way you won't be killed, and the Tulim will be saved. Then we quote the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Omer, nos l'chaver v'chule. That which you just said, we quote in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon says, pass it from friend to friend to friend. So what's the machlokas over here? Why doesn't he say, pachos midalad amos? Malaika miflugi, what are they arguing about? So Mar Savar, the Tanakam of our Mishnah says, that pachos mi'arba amos is odav. He says that it's preferable to go and take it, pachos midalad amos, rather than giving it to a friend. Why? Because the e-amis, nosel chaveru, 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 if you were to instead use the methodology of everybody handing it, a bucket brigade, you hand it to your friend, he hands it to his friend, he hands it to his friend, so after most of the Shabbos, that's too much of a public demonstration that Shabbos has been desecrated. Because, wow, there are 100 people over there, and everybody's going to hear about it. Wow, did you hear what happened? They saved this parent's villain by doing it this way. That's an afshemilsa. It's a clear, loud, so to say, demonstration that the Shabbos was unfortunately needed to be treated with less than the stellar respect that we should have for Shabbos. Okay, there was a heter, but that's not going to be the main thing that people remember. So therefore we said it's better to take it pachos pachos dalad amos than to do this av shemilso of nosel chaveru chaveru chaveru. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Umar Savar, he says no, nosel chaveru adiv. He says that's preferable because when you have 100 people there, nobody's going to forget themselves and carry it dalad amos. But if you tell one person to carry pachos midalad amos, the amos molichim pachos pachos midalad amos, so then in that situation, you know what's going to happen. The lav zimnin adaite, he's not going to pay attention the whole time. And he's going to suddenly carry Dalet Amos in the Shusha Rabbim. And that's an Isra of a Chattis. So therefore, we don't want that to happen. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon said, it's better to do it in this public way. Well, albeit it's Av Shemosa, but it has no potential for trouble that a person will actually carry on Shabbos in the Shusha Rabbim and be Chayv a Chattis. Then we quote the Mishnah, where it said, V'chein b'no. The same halach applies with his son. So the Gemara says, I already explained this in the Mishnah, I gave you the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, but no, my boy hustle. Whoa, where do we talk about a child that's stuck out in the field that you can pass a child one person to the next as well? So the Gemara gives the answer that I told you when we learned the Mishnah. The Vei Menashe Tana, they learned the base medicine Menashe. We're talking here, a woman who gave birth out in the field. The Bishay Yeladato, Imo Basoda. The woman gave birth out there in the field on Shabbos afternoon. And now you got a baby out there. How are you going to carry the baby inside? Oh, pass it from one person to another person to another person. So now, the Mishnah had said, Afilu Hein Meya. We said that you're allowed to do this even if there are 100 people there. So why did it not say this in the first case with the tefillin? You can do this Afilu Meya Hein Meya. Whereas here by the baby, it says Afilu Hein Meya. The two cases are exactly the same. Why does it only mention it over here by the baby case and not by the tefillin case? So the Gemara says, the Chiddush is, Umay Afilu Hein Meya. Why does it tell us over here, even if there's Meya? Because you might have thought, the Afogav, the Kasha Le'yoda. You might have thought that this is dangerous. A brand new baby, his immune system isn't good. You don't want 100 people touching the baby, right? People for the first month or two that a baby's born, they don't want a lot of people around the baby because the baby's immune system isn't good. I'm not sure that that was the reason that they thought. They just thought it's not good to have a baby carried by 100 people. So therefore, you might have thought that in this situation, when it's a baby, you should preferably take the Pochus Midalet Amos methodology. So the Chiddush is, no, Afilu Hachi Ha Adifa. Even if it's not so good for the baby to be carried by 100 people, the risk of having one person carry the baby, pochus dalet amos, is too high that that person will forget themselves and carry the baby more than dalet amos at once and be chayv achatus. So even though it's not so good for the baby, obviously they're not talking about pikuach nefashos, but they felt it's kasha, it's difficult for the baby to be carried by 100 people, nevertheless that's preferable than carrying the baby, pochus dalet amos. Then we quote the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer, Nosin Odom Chavis. We said, you'd even be allowed to do this for a barrel, never mind the tefillin or a baby, but even for something that's not Pikuach Nefashos, you can transfer a barrel a long distance by one person giving it to another person, giving it to another person, to another person. And he said, even if it ultimately goes outside the Tchum. So the more questions is, but let's say the Rav Yehuda, how did not, does Rav Yehuda not agree with what we learned in the Mishnah Beitza? Habehema, we had this earlier in our Masecht as well. Habehema of Hakelim, Kiragli Abalim, that even inanimate objects like Kalim and even animals, their tchum is exactly like the tchum of their owner. So whoever owns the cow, so whatever the tchum of the owner of the cow is, that's the tchum for the cow. And whoever owns this barrel or another Kali, so the Kali or the barrel is only allowed to be taken where the owner is allowed to go. So this Mishnah in Beitza seems to contradict what Rabbi Yehuda just said over here in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to carry the barrel even beyond the tchum of the owner of the barrel. So how can that be? So Gemara says, not a problem. I'm Reish Lakish, Mishum Levi Saba. Reish Lakish says the name of Levi Saba. You know what we're dealing with. Hacha b'mayaskinon b'me'oron mechavis l'chavis. The barrel never left the tchum. The person, let's say, took the barrel up to, let's say it was Reuven, and he took it up to Reuven's tchum, and then he poured it into another barrel, which was within Shimon's tchum, and then they carried it to the edge of Shimon's tchum in the other direction, and then they poured it into Levi's barrel. So the barrels never left the tchum of their owner, only the water inside the barrels left the tchum of the owner, and this is perfectly consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere, Rabbi Yehuda L'taimei. This is perfectly consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere, who says, the Omar, Mayim Ein Bahem Mamish, in a case where a woman borrows water on Shabbos to make a dough. So now she has a dough, she adds the water to her flour, so this dough, whose tchum does this dough have? Is it a combination of the water owner's tchum and the dough's owner's and the flour's owner's tchum? No. We say that the water is considered like it's not there, and this dough that is made, you're allowed to go and carry it to the tchum of the owner of the dough, the flour, and we disregard the owner of the water. So let's say this is on Yontif, where you have dinim of tchum as well, and you're allowed to go and knead this dough. So therefore, in this situation, mayim ein bohem mamish, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we ignore the ownership aspect of the water. It's now
dough, it's no longer water and flour, that's two separate things, and you ignore the ownership aspect of the water, and you just look at the ownership aspect of the flour slash now dough, and that's the tchum. Whoever owns the dough is the one that we follow the tchum of the dough of that woman or that man, and we ignore the aspect of the ownership of the water. That's not, as we learned there in the Mishnah, in Beitza, that it says, Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. In this situation, Rabbi Yehuda says you ignore the woman's ownership of the water, who donated the water, gave the water to a friend. It essentially is considered like it's not there anymore. It's absorbed into the flour. So the water is not be'en. The water is not as if it's really there, and therefore you ignore the water. So Gemara says, so why then, umay, did the Mishnah say, the Amrulav, the rabbi said back to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, lo tahalich zu, you're not allowed to go carry this further. If it's talking about the barrel, Rabbi Yehuda agrees you're not allowed to carry the barrel. So why did they say lo tahalich zu, you're not allowed to go any further than the barrel's owner? So Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that. What's the kasha? And it's the water, so that doesn't seem to be implied by the language. Lo tahalich zu, you're not allowed to take this barrel. Doesn't talk about the water. So Gemara says, yeah, we're talking about the water. Lo yahalech masha bezu yosim iragle balam. No, they disagree. And they say, just like you can't carry the water, because it's a mixture, in the case of the water and the flour, of two different people, so too over here, you can't carry the water. Even though you're pouring the water into another barrel, the water is significant. So that's what they're saying. The Omru, when the rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, you're wrong, so this is what they're referring to. Lo tahalich zu, it means lo yahalech masha bezu. Of course the barrel, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with you, can't carry it. But the water is the argument, and they're saying, no, we disagree with you regarding the water. So Gemara says, let's even question the whole concept that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to carry the water. When did Rabbi Yehuda say, l'taimei, that you're allowed to carry the water? Eimah, the Shamas Lele Rabbi Yehuda, Echa de Bulion Beisa. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that the water is considered insignificant? And when you borrow the water from this other person with a different tchum, and you mix it with your flour, and you have a dough, that the water is considered gone, it's batel to the dough, to the flour. That's Hecha de Bulion Beisa. That's when the water is no longer be'en. It's absorbed. You can't, when you have a dough, you can't see water. Obviously, you needed water to make it, but there is no water over there. So therefore, it's only if it's bliyon be'isan that Rabbi Yehuda said, l'taimei, that you say that the water is gone. Hecha de isnu b'inayu, but here you have the actual water is right there. Mishanasle, when did Rabbi Yehuda say that you can say that the water is subordinate to the barrel? That's not correct. And I'll show you. Hashta, we have another opinion. When we have water and flour, Rabbi Yehuda said that the water is batel. But if you have water in a k'deira, b'k'deira, om Rabbi Yehuda, lo batle. Bainayu batle. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you add water to a container, so the water is not bottle in that situation. So if you borrowed water from somebody, and now it's you have a chicken soup that's half your chicken and half their water, so it's not bottle because you see the water right there. So therefore, lo batle. Bainayu batle. It's only when it's not physically distinct, such as water with flour. Now it becomes a dough. The water is not recognizable. That's when it's bottle. And that's what it says, Beferish of the Brisa, the Tanya. Review Domer, Mayim u'melach b'teil b'isa, the water that's mixed with the flour, and you put in some salt as well. So that becomes subordinate, batel, to the dough, and you go by the owner of the flour, now the owner of the dough, their tchum. The ain b'teil b'kdeira, b'nei rotva. But if you pour water into a chicken soup, or into a gravy, or something like that, so the water is still extant. You can see the water, it's mixed in with the gravy. Therefore, you're not allowed to go and ignore the owner of the water's contribution, and therefore this kedera, this pot, that has two people's ownership, and they have different tchumim, so you're only allowed to go with this pot into an area that both tchums can reach. So therefore, that can't be the answer for Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about that he poured the water, and the water is not considered significant, it's batel. That's not true, it's be'en. So therefore, we have to give a different teretz. El Amar Rava, Rava says, this is the teretz. Hocha b'chavis shekonsha shvisa. We're talking here that the barrel has its own tchum. However, umayim shelo konu shvisa. But the water came from a spring. It came from a river. And on Shabbos, or Yontif, they put it into this barrel. So the water has no tchum, and the barrel has a tchum. That's what we're dealing with. Umayim shelo konu shvisa askinon. Debot lo chavis legabe mayim. And here, the water is the ikker. And we have a famous rule by Shabbos, which we're going to reiterate in a moment, that says when you're carrying something out on Shabbos, you're only chayef for carrying the ikker thing.
And the tafel thing, you're actually not chayef for carrying. The container that's carrying the ikr thing, you're actually not chayef for carrying the container. You're only chayef for carrying the ikr thing. So here, the water is the ikr thing. And the chavis, which has a trum, is bottled to the water that doesn't have a trum. And therefore, this barrel with the water in it doesn't have a trum. And this is proven from Hilchos Shabbos as follows. Kidinan, like we learn in the Mishnah in Shabbos, hamotzi hachai b'mito. If you carry out a person who's alive on a bed on Shabbos, and normally say chai is nosi es atzmo, and therefore you're not chai for carrying a person on Shabbos. So in this situation, you're carrying the chai, it's not an issa d'oraisa, but you're carrying the bed. How come the bed doesn't make it an issa d'oraisa? You're potter. You're not considered over an issa d'oraisa. It's potter of losser, it's an issa d'rabbanan, but you're not over an issa d'oraisa because the person is the critical thing, and the bed is subordinate to the person. So therefore, your potter, afa lamita, even though you carried out the whole bed, because the bed becomes subordinate to the person. And the person, you're not chayef for carrying, because chay no siyas atzmo, so therefore, you're not chayef for the bed as well. Similarly, hamotzi ochlin, if you take out food, so if you take out significant amount of food on the different things, so each type of food is significant for a different amount, usually it's considered like a grogeres, so that's considered a significant amount of food. So in this situation, if you carry out less than that, hamotzi ochlin, even though you carried it out in a container, so pachus mikishir bichli pater avalikli. So you're not chayev midaraisa a carbon chatas, because even though chatzishir is also in the Torah, you're not chayev a carbon. So even though you carried out the kli, and the kli would be normally chayev, if you just carried out the kli alone, you would be chayev a chatas. Here, your pater, even on the kli, mimnei shakli tofilo. So the kli becomes subordinate to the food. The food wasn't enough of a shir, or in the chay no se esatzmo case, you're not chayev a chatas. So to over here, the water has no trum. So the barrel's trum is subordinated to the water which has no trum. That's the answer. We still have questions on this. Moshe Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says over here, Rav Yehuda Omer Bishayara, in the case of when you have a caravan, so there's certain coolers that the rabbis instituted and said, Rav Yehuda holds, no sein odam chavero chavis lechavero. In this situation, you can give your barrel of water to your friend, chavero lechavero, and they can carry it outside the tchum. And this is only allowed b'shayara in shalom b'shayara lo. So our Mishnah is not talking about a shayara. It seems that Rehud is only making in regards to a shayara. So Gemara says, you're right, el omer of Yosef, kitna nami b'masnisa b'shayara tnan. So our Mishnah is also talking about a shayara. That's why he says, you can give the barrel to somebody, and somebody to somebody to somebody, and eventually goes outside the tchum. So that's a kula only in regards to a shayara, and our Mishnah is also talking about a shayara. Abai says, no, not so fast. You don't have to qualify our Mishnah that way. Abai Amar, Bishayara, when you're dealing with a caravan and there's certain coolers that the rabbis instituted in this situation, Afilu Chavis Shekansa Shevisa, that idea that you mameko by a Shayara is even if the barrel had a Shvisa, the water in the barrel had a Shvisa. Umayim Shekonu Shvisa. So both the barrel and the water had a Shvisa. Nevertheless, you're allowed to go past it and even go outside the Trum. It's a kula that the rabbis instituted. This whole din is a din the Rabbanan of Trumim. And therefore, the rabbis said, Eluv Eluv. They said this, but they also said that. And therefore, in regards to a Shayara, there's a big kula here that even if it has Kona Shvisa, even if the water is Kona Shvisa. But it's only Shaloba Shayara. When you're not dealing with a Shayara, then Chavish Shekonu Shvisa, Umayim Shalo Konu Shvisa, then that's exactly the case that he said. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. Finally, a third explanation, Rav Ashi Amar, Hocha b'chavis de hefker askinan. Here we're dealing with a chavis that was hefker. The barrel had no trum. Umayim de hefker askinan. And we're talking about water that was hefker. And therefore, there is no problem passing it from one person to another person. Uman amrlo. So now the Gemara asks, then what is the opinion of the rabbis if it's hefker? What is the opinion of the rabbis to say that that's not allowed? So the Gemara says, this is the opinion, this man armulo, that's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Domar chevtzi hefker, koni shvisa. He says that items that belong to hefker are in fact kona de shvisa, just like a person is automatically kona shvisa, so too hefker items are automatically kona shvisa. So then, what does it mean when the Mishnah says, umay lo tahalizu yosem miragli abalim? There are no ragli abalim over here. It's not owned by anybody. So Gemara says, it means, lo yahalchu elu yoser mikelim shiesh lem balim. That we view this as if it had balim, and if it had balim, this would be the tchum, this is the dalet amos that it's in, so you go 2,000 amos around it. So if it had balim, you wouldn't be allowed to carry it beyond the tchum of the balim. So to over here, you can't go and carry it beyond the tchum as if it had balim from where the object is at the start of Shabbos. This is a good break point over here. We'll stop today's shiur over here.